Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is always a great word. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus told his disciples. Have faith in God. And that's what we have to do. Have faith in God. And how it comes about is, as we very well know, we talked about the fig tree. He was hungry. He went to the fig tree. It was all blossomed, but no fruit because it was out of season. And he cursed it. He cursed it. But he told the disciples, you can move mountains with your faith. We can move mountains with our faith. Can move mountains with our faith. And I am believing God for mountain moving. I'm believing God that he is going to take care of his children. I believe in God that he is going to give hearts to those that are heartless and souls to those that are soulless. That he will help the poor and the needy. Things are turning around for our good, and I thank God for it. And I'm talking not only the planet, but our nation. Vaccine for COVID. Subsidies and help for the needy. And I'm praying for that $15 an hour because it will bring so many people out of poverty. You know, I want to ask some of the Congress people who don't feel that $15 an hour is appropriate. I would like for one of them to live on $7.25 an hour. I don't know too many people who can live on $7.25 an hour. And I remember back in the 70s, actually, 79, 80, somewhere in there, 83. You know, I was working at a department store. You know, actually it helped pay my way through college. Because when I graduated from college, I graduated with, I believe, $1,500 of debt compared to some of these young people that are graduating with $150,000 worth of debt. $1,500 worth of debt. And God blessed me to get a job where I got a $1,500 bonus. So I was out of debt within 2 years, 3 years, something like that, which was a blessing. And all I can say is, you know, my youngest son, paying it forward, graduated from college debt-free because he took his time. You know, he wasn't worried about, I got to graduate in 4 years, so I have to get all this debt. No, he worked. He went to school. And his dad left him enough to pay for the rest of it. But the bottom line is that freedom is important. I say to you this morning, we have to have faith that God will move whatever your mountain may be. And I'm believing that God is about to move many of our children out of poverty in this nation. We just got to get behind it. You know, I read an article where a young man said, you know, what's wrong with paying a few cents more for a hamburger so that somebody can be out of poverty? We've been subsidizing big companies that pay no taxes. And understand that when people are given a wage to live, we will have manufacturing. We will have all the things that we as a nation need to move forward. And that's what we want to do. So anyway, getting off my soapbox, but I just thought about that when you talked about faith in God, that there are so many who have been praying for the Lord to help them, help their children, families. And so I am grateful that many are going to get subsidies. Today is the day that the House votes to pass the bill, so that hopefully those that are in need will have the $1,400 minimum for families, and those children that are in need will be able to be taken care of in a way they should be. So praying for families, praying especially for those out there who are foster parents, grandparents, other than mothers and fathers raising children, for it is not easy. So I am grateful for that village out there that are helping young people, helping mothers, helping fathers, helping those that need help with their children. So shout out to those out there that go the extra mile for their children, grandchildren, and godchildren, and foster children. So just thanking God for you today. As we get ready to get in our word, we know that in our Old Testament word, the children of Israel messed up. 14,700 of them died because they chose to follow after others instead of following God. Amazing. God does not play. He will bless you when you have faith, but he will also beat your behind when you don't do what you're supposed to do. So I'm telling you today, let's do what we're supposed to do. Help our fellow men, be kind, be nice, and love each other, and worship God in the beauty of holiness. For when we have faith, we can move the mountains. And let's get into our word today. We're going to continue with the children of Israel who are terrified because they know that God does not play. They know to leave Moses and Aaron alone. Don't go talking all this I'm tough, I'm rough, I should be in charge. Who do you think you are? Want to take over leadership? What God has already ordained, you're going to be messed up. And that is exactly what has happened. They got messed up. The Korahites, what happened? The ground opened up and swallowed them. And then it closed back up. In other words, let me show you a thing or two. That right there should have been having folks on their knees repenting. If I saw the ground open up and swallow up a house and close back up, I do believe I would be repenting. I repent anyway if I mess up. My pastor always said, when you mess up, clean up. That's what we got to do. And so now God's getting ready to show him another miracle. So let's get into our word. Join me in Numbers chapter 17. And we're going to be in our Old Testament word, Numbers 17 through chapter 18, verse 32. And then we're going to go into Psalms 32, verses 6 through 11, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. And our word for this morning is coming out of Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 33. Numbers chapter 17, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders, according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on the rod, and you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony, where I meet with you. And I shall be there, the rod of the man, and it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you." So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod apiece. For each leader, according to their father's houses, were 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had and yielded ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the rods before the Lord to all the children of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put their complaints away from me, lest they die. Thus did Moses, just as the Lord had commanded him, so he did. So the children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, surely we die, we perish, we all perish. Whoever even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Shall we utterly die? They should be scared, because you had opportunity to walk into your promised land, opportunity to do everything you needed to do. Instead, you rebelled. And I can tell you, many of us have had our opportunities to walk into our promised land and messed up, just like the children of Israel. So we can't judge. We got to ask God, help us to do better. Help us not to be unbelievers. Help us to walk into the promised land that you give us, whatever that promised land may be. Whether it's to purchase a house, whether it's to pay off a mortgage, whether it's to buy a car, whether it's to just be something simple as taking your grandbabies out to eat. Whatever it is, because you know you're looking for a job and you need a little bit more, and God opens a door for employment. That's how he does things. You just go for something simple, and he opens a door for you to have what you need. I believe God is opening doors for us this season. He is opening big doors for us in this season. All we have to do is walk through them. Hallelujah. Then it goes on to tell us in chapter 18, then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die. They and you alone, they shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle meeting for all the work of the tabernacle. But an outsider shall not come near you, and you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood, for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. The Lord spoke to Aaron, here I myself have also of my heave offerings, all the holy gifts of the children of Israel, I have given them as a portion to you and your sons, as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every offering of theirs, every grain offering, every sin offering, and every trespass offering, which they render to me, shall be most holy. for you and your sons in a most holy place. You shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. Thus also is yours the heave offering of their gift, which all the wave offering of the children of Israel, I have given them to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine and the grain, their first fruits, which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit is in their hand, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation, for 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerah. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. And their flesh shall be yours, just as the wave breast and the right thigh are yours. All the heave of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion, your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Israel all the tithes in Israel as inheritance. Excuse me, I'm wrong. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance for the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a come on, y'all, of the tithe. Even the Levites paid tithes, okay? They were receiving tithes, and they had to give tithes. So when, you know, we pay those that work in ministry, they need to tithe on whatever it is that they may make. We have to pay our tithes. A tenth goes to the Lord always. And it goes on to say, your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel. And you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron, the priest. Of all your gifts, you shall offer up every heave offering due to the Lord from all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore, you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor. And as produce of the wine press, you may eat it in any place, you and your house and your households. But it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle meeting. And you shall bear no sin because of it when you have lifted up the best of it. But you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. And let's go over a few life lessons. For those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year, and I am coming out of the New King James Version for my King James readers. It's more of an explanation word for some of the things that are in King James. It just kind of makes it a little plainer for those that are listening. I do love King James, but New King James is what I read because it's a little easier to understand and explain in the Bible from Dr. Stanley. And so a couple of life lessons from our Numbers lesson is this. In Numbers 17 and 8, Moses went into the tabernacle, a witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron had produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. The Lord will go to great lengths to show us and confirm to us his perfect will. Not only did Aaron's rod show signs of growth, but it showed the complete cycle of the almond tree, from bud to blossom to fruit. Interestingly, the almond was a symbol for haste and vigilance. Jeremiah 1, 11 through 12, two qualities the high priest would need to exhibit. It was pretty awesome. Haste and vigilance. That's the words, some words to keep in your arsenal. And, you know, we got to hastily go to the Lord, and we have to have vigilance to receive whatever it is he has to show us or tell us. Numbers 18 and 20, I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Aaron had no territorial property, but God gave him himself as Aaron's portion and inheritance. When we find our treasure in God, we gain a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Isaiah 33 and 6. We better understand that when you have God, you have the best there is to have. What did our word say for this morning? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Psalms 32, verses 6 through 11. And it says, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance to love. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bite and bridle. They will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Can I read that again, y'all? Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. We got to trust in the Lord. We got to give God glory. We got to give God praise. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David sure knew how to preach, didn't he? And this is what the word says, Psalms 32 and 9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. We expect animals to do animal-like things, because God has not given them the ability to think his thoughts. It should not take pain to move us toward God, because we should delight to draw near to him. Delight yourselves in the Lord. We got to delight ourselves in God, for we are his and he is ours. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to be a child of God. Proverbs 11, 19 through 21. As righteousness leads to life, So he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. Y'all better hear that. But the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. Don't think that you can get away with stuff. God sees everything. And in this day and age, you know, back in the day, I watched this show called Person of Interest with Jim Caviezel, who played Christ in The Passion of Christ, The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie. He played Jesus, and he is a very much born-again Christian and actor. He was also in one of my favorite movies called Frequency. Very good actor. But he was in this show called Person of Interest, and Taraji P. Henson was also in that show, and showed where there was a computer system that looked at every person, knew all about you. And I'm telling you, today, while you have all those pictures of folks that thought that they could change our votes and the votes and the will of the people and the will of God, obviously, by insurrection, all those pictures are posted everywhere because there is a computer system that shows cameras everywhere that is taking your picture. I mean, yesterday they even showed a picture of the person that placed the bombs by different entities, political entities like the RNC and the DNC, bombs that didn't go off. Why do you think those bombs didn't go off? Because God didn't want them to. That's the bottom line. God did not want them to. He did not want anybody hurt. You know, we had five people die. But I tell you something. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. But the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. God is delivering so many people out of poverty. God is doing it, not Joe Biden. You know, I'm not going to take what God's credit. You know, he's just a vessel being used by God. But I tell you this, you will see God at work in everything that's going on. God is at work. And he is going to help his people. He is going to help. I guarantee, I believe in my whole heart, as the word tells us, have faith in God. I believe that God is going to help so many people come out of poverty, that many are going to get this check coming up in the next couple of weeks that are going to need it, because it's going to be time to do everything that they need to do to get their children ready for those Easter pageants, to pay their bills, to pay back rent, to do what they need to do, get their kids back in school and have proper PPE until this virus is opening doors now because of the vaccines for grandparents who have not been able to touch or feel or kiss their grandbabies, being able to be vaccinated and now being able to be with their children, to be with their grandchildren. Look at God work, y'all. God is working in the midst of everything. We have been through hell and back, but God has said, I am opening doors. I am opening windows. I am bringing in the light. Hallelujah, we are blessed beyond measure that people are being healed, that less people are getting sick, and less people are dying. A half a million plus in this nation alone have died from the plague. Imagine how we were feeling, losing loved ones, losing people we know, friends. And then you understand what the children of Israel were feeling when 14,700 of them died from a plague. But it took prayer to change things. And it's going to take continual righteous prayer to bring us turmoil we've been in as a world, not just as a nation, but as a world. I know that things are going to go up in price, but understand when people have a living wage, watch God work and understand what you think is going to be a detriment is going to be a positive, because God is going to open doors for those that believe and trust in Him. Let us have faith in God that all things are going to work for your good if you trust and believe in Him. Now, this is what Jesus said in Mark 11, 20 through 33. Says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, said to him, Rabbi, look, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Hallelujah. If you're praying for your children to be saved, they will be. If you're praying for debt freedom, you will be. If you do not do it amiss, if you don't ask and not do it what you need to do, we got to do what we need to do, because God will bless you. But you got to do what you told God you will do. You got to have faith. Child that is sick because of drug addiction, because of alcoholism, because of whatever situation they're in, you can believe. Unemployment. I believe and have faith that God has jobs, that God has recovery, that God has everything we need for our children that are in need. I believe in God for salvation for those that are outside the ark of safety. I am believing God with faith that debt freedom will come to many. I am believing God, hallelujah, that churches will be filled without fear of coronavirus. I am having faith in God that people are being saved every day by faith. I am believing God that all things, all mountains that are in our way are going to be removed. Whatever mess you may have, God is going to give you the strength. Clean it up. Hallelujah. I have faith. For Jesus said, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whatever your mountain is, speak to it and let it know you are going down, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you need a job, start claiming your job. If you need housing, start claiming your house. If you need to be debt free, start claiming your debt freedom. Whatever it is, if you need your children saved, start claiming it. Lord, my sons, my daughters, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren. Lord, I'm praying for generations to come that they will be saved, that I will have fruit on the vine, and the vine will be pure. It will be like the blossoming rod with the almonds on it. Hallelujah. I am believing you, Lord, for miracles, signs, and wonders. I know that my prayers will be answered. I know that you have my family covered. I know that you have my church covered. I know you have my pastor covered. and whatever she or he may need, you got it for them, Lord God. I'm believing for signs and miracles. I'm believing for the church mortgage to be burned. I'm believing for house mortgages to be burned. I'm believing for past due rents to be paid, for no light to be cut off, that no one will go in the cold if it gets cold again because their heating bill is paid. Lord God, I'm praying for those that have been unemployed to find their employment, to be called back to work, that restaurants and businesses that may have gone under, that they will come back renewed, hallelujah, that they will be like a blossoming plant that comes back every year. Lord God, that died may have died in the winter, but they're coming back in the spring. Lord God, I am believing you by faith that this nation will prosper, that we will come back under In God We Trust. Hallelujah. I am believing you, Lord, for all good things come from you. We got to start praying and believing and saying in the name of Jesus, all things will work for our good because we trust in the Lord. And Jesus went on to say, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, and there's that word, forgive him. We wonder why our prayers are not being answered. It's because we're running around with a pile of unforgiveness. We got to forgive anyone that has hurt me. Lord, I forgive them. I ask repentance if I have had any unforgiveness in my heart. I ask you to remove it like the canker worm. Remove it from my spirit. Remove it from my soul. Lord, remove any unforgiveness for me, from me. Hallelujah. And Lord, I forgive with my whole heart any that have hurt me, whatever it was. I have let it go and thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness, just as you have thrown my sins in the sea of forgetfulness. We got to start speaking the truth as the word of God says. For this is what Jesus is speaking. You have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Forgive those that trespass against me. We got to forgive. We got to have that Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, that debt of sin, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into trespass. We got to not be led into trespass because we want to be able to forgive those that have trespassed against us. We got to have that Matthew chapter 6 in our heart. We got to have it in our spirits. We got to have it in our souls. Because I tell you something, you got to forgive. You got to let things like that go. You got to let folks go that always, every time you come in their presence, they got to complain. They got to tell you about what he said, she said, woo-woo said, and what boo-boo and them down the street are doing, and how they can't stand boo-boo, and how boo-boo is just messing up the whole neighborhood, and all da-da-da-da, instead of praying for boo-boo and his family to be saved. We got to learn how to pray. And the word of God tells us, how do we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then that word, and do not lead us into temptation, or lead us not into temptation, as King James says, but deliver us from evil. Or as New King James says, deliver us from the evil one, for we know that he's a sneaky snake. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then in verse 14, this is that word that has been added in instead of debt by some. But we got to understand, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. We got to forgive. He says, because moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be men fasting. You know, I fast all the time, but nobody knows it because I don't tell it. Because, well, now forgive me for being all mouthy, Lord. But no, the fact is that you can fast. You fast because there's something that you need to talk with God about. You fast to give up something that's important to you. You know, since I was a little kid, not Catholic, but I have always given up something during this Lenten season. Since I was small, you know, back when I was little, my mother, my godmother was over the UNICEF fund. They donated to UNICEF for children for years and years, you know, Halloween UNICEF, you know, during the Lenten season. We gave every day one dime. You gave one dime a day for those whole season, 40 days of Lent. And when you think about it, as a little kid, you've given $4 to somebody else. Because charity begins at home, but you learn as a child, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, that you have to give to others. And that has always stuck in my mind, that you give up something, whatever it is. And for a child, 10 cents a day is a lot of money, especially in the 60s and 70s. That was a lot of money to give up a dime. And so I collected my little dime, and I put them on my little card. And when my time was up, I gave my little card with all my dimes in it. Well, we should be, when they give up something, be proud of whatever it is you give up, because you're giving it up for God, for more of him, for time with him, for the love of him. And I always say, whatever I give up for God, I can accomplish. If I try to give it up for myself, it don't happen. But for God, that's why when you make a vow to God, you better keep it, because you don't want a curse coming down on your head. And this is what it goes on to say in the word, verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Remember that. And then we got to get to those folks always trying to start stuff. The fake and phony priests and ministers and Pharisees and all the folks that want to try to claim religious authority because they have an education. They have all these things. But do they have God? That's a question. I can have all the education in the world. I can have my degree. I can have the lessons, and I can have the classes that I've taken in theology, and I can do all of this stuff. But it means nothing if I don't have God in my heart. We got to have God in our heart. And this is what the word says. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and we're talking the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes and the elders too. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? Again, who are you to tell the Son of God who gave him authority? Just like the Korites, who gave you Aaron and Moses authority to do this and that? Who da 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 da? And what happened? Opened up, gone. Earth opened up, gone. And so these guys, they gone. Well, we didn't give him authority to be doing this. You have no authority over God. We have no authority over God. And as we continue, it says this. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question and answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. Bam. Because Jesus was baptized by John. See, they all know that because they was following behind, being nosy. And as we can continue, it says, and they reason among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they fear the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. In other words, bam, back at you. You know, don't mess with the Father, don't mess with the Son, and don't mess with the Holy Spirit, because understand, they are one and powerful. Hallelujah. I am grateful to be a child of God. I am grateful for the Word of God, because I get giddy for Jesus. If you read the Word, Jesus was, he was all that. He did not play. He didn't play with the devil, so you know he wasn't playing with man. And all these folks that are all claiming, holy, holy, holy am I, don't understand there is only one thing in this entity, in this world, in art, that is holy and righteous all the time. And that is God, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, for they are one. Only God is righteous. Only God is absolutely great and greatly to be praised. We are just his children, each one of us, praying daily. Lord, help us with our unbelief. Help us with anything that we have that is not like you. Remove it from us, Father. And this is what Dr. Stanley said about forgiveness, because it's a big deal. When we walk around with an unforgiving heart, I think we draw all kind of negativity to ourselves. You got to shake stuff off. I tell my children, inquire when they get a little issue with each other, shake it off. You got to shake off all that stuff. Shake off everything. Not like God. Shake it off. As they say, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. You got to shake it off. Get rid of stuff. You got to start, as they say, it's time to downsize. Downsize who you hang with. Downsize your acquaintances. Downsize. If they are not of God, you've got to downsize. Pray for them and keep it moving. Shake off anything you might have, because folks will talk about you like a dog. Shake it off. Let it go. Give it to God. It's not going to send you to heaven, and it's not going to send you to hell. Shake it off and let it go, because I want to get through the narrow gate, and I don't have time to be carrying the baggage of unforgiveness with me. Come on now. Let it go. Shake it off. And this is what it says, why is it important to forgive others? All of us at some point have to deal with the issue of unforgiveness. When we allow a bitter spirit to lodge in our souls, where it grows and festers, it becomes destructive. Wonder why folks get certain diseases, letting that unforgiving spirit fester in their spirits. Unforgiveness lies at the root of many of the physical, emotional, and psychological and spiritual problems we see today. He is so right. The Apostle Paul wrote, like, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamoring, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4:31-32. When Paul spoke of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, he was describing the ugly manifestation of a spirit of unforgiveness. A spirit of unforgiveness goes beyond a temporary unwillingness to forgive. The spirit between the time a person gets hurt and the time he forgives the one who hurt him. A spirit of unforgiveness develops when the one hurt chooses to remain in that unforgiving state. People who develop this nasty spirit often say, I just don't think I could ever forgive that. They make the statement when they feel they have been treated in such an unjust, unfair, harmful way that they simply can't go of the pain. I've been there, had that moment, and had to say, Lord, help me forgive. Because when you see that person that hurt you, the instinct is to go and beat them up. I'm sorry. I wasn't always saved. So understand, that's your instinct. But God has given us a spirit to shake it off and let it go. Because my mother used to always say, you accomplish more and you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. So the bottom line is you got to treat people with kindness, even those that have hurt you. Because one thing I can tell you, your kindness will go a lot farther than your bitterness. Because, you know, I ain't got time to be bitter over this and that. And, you know, we don't know when our day is coming. I don't want that poor guy with a whole spirit of unforgiveness and wind up in the pit. No, uh-uh. Let it go. Shake it off. Let it go. Because what did the word tell us? Have faith in God. Have faith in God that he will allow you to let all of that anger, all that frustration, all that stuff go. Just love on him. Let it go. And God will open the door of opportunity for you to say, I don't have anything against you. I let that mess go. It's done. It's done. And that's it. It's done. We are all going to be hurt. Every one of us has been hurt, are hurting now, or are going to be hurt by somebody. The only way we can isolate ourselves against being hurt is to completely remove ourselves from the possibility of love. There is hurt. That's the truth. Hurt is unavoidable, but we can deal with hurt. No pain is too deep or too widespread to lie beyond the power of God's forgiveness. Working in and through us, unforgiveness is a choice we make with a will, and it's a devastatingly bad choice, not only for the relationship, not only for the cause of Christ, but also for the one who refuses to forgive. We should forget that it was our loving, we shouldn't forget that it was our loving Savior Jesus Christ who ended a story on the necessity of forgiveness with these words, and his master was angry and delivered him to the tortures until he should pay all that was due him. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And we read that in Matthew chapter 18, 34, and that was about the servant who owed a whole lot of money to the master, but asked, please let me pay it. And the master, and then he's going to go to somebody that owed a whole lot less and say, you better give me my money. And I'm paraphrasing. You better give me what you owe me. And then because the person begged them for forgiveness, instead they threw them in jail. We better understand, you get what you give. And then that's when they wind up getting what they deserved, being evil and ornery. If you're forgiven, you got to forgive. And the Lord will convict you if you try to do something different. I'm going to tell you that. You will get convicted. So I say to you this morning, have faith in God. Jesus told us, have faith in God. And I say to you today, in God, have that mountain-moving mustard seed faith and watch God work in your life. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, because we've got to go to work, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word from this morning is this. When battling things in life, it has knocked you down. That's when you're in perfect position to pray. Have a worshiping Wednesday, family. It's a wrap, y'all. It has been a great word this morning. If there's anyone that would like that has a word, we have a few minutes left. If you have something to say or if God has put something on your heart to speak, then please don't hesitate to just push the number one on your phone or on your social media device, and we can have a conversation, because I'm telling you, I got faith that God is getting ready to do some great things, not only in my life, but in the lives of so many people. I am thankful today. I am grateful today, and I know I am blessed. And as Sister Carolyn told us this morning, you know, all up in the lesson, when you're battling things in life and it has knocked you down, I say to you today, family, that's when you're in a perfect position to pray. Pray, pray, and pray some more, because God is working and doing some great things in your life and in the life of your families. All you have to do is have faith and believe in God. Trust God today. Trust God that everything is going to happen, and it's going to be happening for your good and the good of your family. Thank you all so much. We have a caller.
Good morning.
Evangelist, your line is open.
Hey, good morning. How do you feel? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you so much.
Hey, man. Well, first off, let me give the head, who's the head of my life, Christ and the Holy Spirit, just thanking them for the power to wake me up this morning and get me here. Man, I've been listening to your show a lot for a long time, and I never call in, but today was just different. Everything is sweeter, you know. I was diagnosed with the coronavirus, and the whole situation just took a chunk out of my life, and I got down, depressed, and I was just lost. I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't understand that all these things sometimes sets us back. When you're on a high horse or you're moving so hard where it's like your life is moving as a blur. It's happening so fast, and everything's happening all at once. You just feel like you have no control, but God's in total control. And I say that to say, listening to this broadcast and just hearing what you've been saying this morning is confirmation, man. There's so many things we don't give over to God and let him have his way. We feel like we're going to have our way, but his way is the ultimate supreme way. And it's amazing how when it's not working, that's when God's most busy. When it is working, God is still working. So regardless of what goes on, God never stops, but we have to not stop believing. And because of my belief, you know, I'm corona free. I'm back with my family. Everything is good, but it takes time. It's not like Rome was built overnight. And all the people in the Bible, even the ones who did sin, they still had to go through that incubation period. But at the end of everything, the shell will become an egg in no time. And that same shell is a remembrance of what used to be, and it's not going to stop what it is to be. So I just thank you and just blindly say, whoever going to touch this broadcast, they're supposed to be here. Whoever don't feel it, they'll get it at some point. God's word will not return to him void. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and I approve this message. I love y'all. Man, it's a great
thank
day.
Thank you so much, Pastor. And I do apologize. I called you evangelist, but I knew you were something in the ministry. I just felt that in my spirit. So thank you so much, Pastor, for tuning in. Thank you for calling in. And just thank you for your word of wisdom. Thank you so much, because we know that your faith is what made you well. We know that. And the prayers of the righteous do avail much. So I thank you, Pastor, for listening in. You know, please don't hesitate to call in anytime that you want. Your line will be open. Thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you, continue to heal you, continue to do whatever he is going to do with your ministry. I pray in the name of Christ Jesus that your ministry prospers as you prosper, and that God will bring many, many souls to salvation through you, for we know that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Thank you for being one of the laborers working the harvest and being a shepherd. Ooh, hallelujah. I pray for God to give you that one that the 99 wasn't going to do, that you went out and got that 100. God's got you covered, Pastor. I believe that God is going to increase and move your ministry forward because you have something to say. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for calling in. And thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And I get emotional now. But I tell you this, God will always send someone to speak when you need it. So thank you so much because you just helped me this morning to, as God has been telling me, don't get tired, daughter, in well doing. Because I know that sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, is anybody listening? And God said, many are listening. You just don't see it. And so you are a confirmation
right.
that many are listening, that I just don't see it. So thank you so much. Thank all of you that listen in. And we say together, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Holy
I pray over you and yours continued healing, continued growth in your ministry, Pastor, and to my evangelists and
yes.
mothers and those that are listening that I don't see. Just know that God has got us all covered. All we have to do, as Jesus said, is have faith in God. Thank you so much, family. I got to go to work, and it is a wrap as we move forward.
Have a great
day.
Blessed.
Have a great day, Pastor. Thank you so much for calling in, and I hope to see
you
call in again. You have made my day, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much, and God's blessings over your ministry and over you. If you're ever in my area, come on down to Table of Life Ministries at 2600 South 5th Street in Springfield, Illinois, where you will find love, peace, and joy in our congregation. Have a blessed day, sir, and thank you again for tuning in and for calling in. You be blessed as well. And what is the name of your ministry, and where are you located, so that we can, because many people do listen.
Well, the name of the ministry is Resurrection of Hope Ministries. It's at 3136 East Wall Street in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I visited Springfield, Illinois, July. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, so I'm very familiar with where you are. So
okay. Well, come on by the table where you will find the
Man,
love and the peace and joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.
I just
want to
say this. I got one thing to say. I really love your word of inclusion, because it's like we forget so much that God's in control of everything. Even when it's bad, it's
right.
good. So I just, you got me ready to run down the street and go get my message. I just have to do that. I've had hundreds of people that's been trying to call me, but they've been, sorry, this line is. You got me excited. Like I'm pumped. I'm up and I'm ready. I'm like, I'm going to run down the street, grab me a phone, run back and back on my street, because it's time. I got to get out of this hole. And thank God that you was here to minister to me in my spirit. It just wasn't for me, but I took what I could, and that's the most important thing. Eating meat, throw away the bone. Thank you so much, Queen.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have a blessed day, sir. And all of you
right
have
now.
A blessed day. As they say, I got to go to work, y'all. So have a blessed day, because I work for God, and God has got me on assignment. So I love you all. Be blessed. Have a wonderful, blessed day. And remember that all we do is pray. Pray, pray, and pray some more, because God is doing some great things in ministries. Watch God work. I'm telling y'all, God is getting ready to bring congregations back. He's getting ready to increase. He is doing all that he said he will do. All we have to do, as Jesus said, have faith in God, family. It's a wrap. I got to go. Love y'all.